In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. It's one of those wonderful times of the year, Advent, because that's what I saw in all the stores, right? Everybody's decorated for Advent. Actually, they probably got, what's the next thing? Valentine's Day? That's probably set up by now. But I have to tell you, for us, this isn't for me, this is the most confusing season in the church. We're in the midst of Advent, but the world is in the midst of Christmas. We are talking about how we can prepare the way of the Lord into our hearts. So we're waiting for the God incarnate, the infant Christ child, to enter into the world where we remember that incredible celebration of the humility of our own God, who was willing to come and be among us as a helpless child. And also remembering that he's coming again to reign as king. And then we live in a world that is looking and waiting for Santa Claus. It's confusing. We're to be looking into ourselves and finding a deeper relationship with God. And the world wants to get deeper into your pocket and run up your credit card debt. Amen. And we feel almost obligated to participate in it. And it becomes a struggle because absolutely everything that the world perceives as Christmas appears to be the exact opposite of everything we're called to do and be as Christians, most especially in this season. The difference is just painfully obvious that we do this differently. I struggle with it. It's really not my thing these days. As my wife will tell you, there are no Christmas ornaments hanging in my house as of yet. There are no lights outside. Two reasons. One, I just live in this depth of not understanding that that's what I need to be doing right now. And the other is, well, I'm just lazy. It's just not my thing. I don't strive for it. I don't look for it. I'm not excited about that part of it. I am finding myself thinking more and more about God as we're asked to do in this season, which we should do in all seasons. But it's just in front of us. It's in the readings, it's in the music, it's in the way in which we worship everything, looking to this Jesus. So I just struggle to go looking to the world. And I suspect most of us are probably doing the same things. And it gets confusing. But that is the call, and we have to ask ourselves, which side is going to win? Where are we going to land? And I expect if you're like most of us, you're trying to land in both spaces. I want to do this journey closer to God. I want to do this reflection time. I want to focus on this, but there's so many other things I have to get done. So many things that need to be purchased, planned, cooked, set up, prepared for. And it's a lot of work. Well, for some of you. For some of us, it hasn't changed a thing. But that's where we find ourselves. This time when we're supposed to be drawing nearer to God, I suspect we find ourselves a little more stressed out than we want to be. Amen? Why? I have no doubt that God wants you completely and totally stressed out and on the edge to recognize his arrival into this world. Maybe not. No, he wants us remembering. Remembering that he has already broken into this world and that he is going to return this season of Advent, but we find ourselves struggling. Most confusing season of the year in the church. And we struggle in it. And in this third week of Advent, when we move to the lighting of the pink candle, which is supposed to point to a little bit lighter understanding of this four-week season of repentance. I know we're not supposed to call it that. We're supposed to call it preparation, because somehow being repentant is not popular anymore. It probably should be. I know it certainly needs to be in my life, more so than I think it should be at this season of my life, but one day perfection will come, but it won't be my doing. It'll just be my allowing. But in this third week of Advent, we hear Paul's words to the Thessalonians in this letter. And it's probably good to know that he's writing this letter to the church that has been struggling and been fighting against the world around them to hold true to the faith. And Paul is writing to encourage them. I know that seems odd. Paul's usually admonishing. He'll sneak a little bit of that in. But he's really trying to say, you've been doing a good job. Keep doing what you're doing. And so we focus on the concept of joy, this concept of the joy of this season and the joy in knowing that God is here with us and God is going to do these things through us. But even in our own liturgical calendar, the thing that states which readings we'll be using today, we took the easy way out. It starts in chapter 5, our reading starts at verse 16, rejoice always, and it's, you know, pray without ceasing, and we're going, yeah. That's, and it says this is because this is what Christ Jesus, this is what he wants for you. And we're thinking, yeah, that's what I want. But you know, there's always more to it. How do we get to this depth of joy and understanding if we're just looking at all the things that are what we want to hear? And that's not how it works, is it? So I'm going to back you up because, you know, I like to do that. Because there's actually a whole list of other things that Paul is referring to when he says in part of verse 18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That didn't start with verse 16. It started with verse 12. He goes, but we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. There's a lot more to it when we back up just a few verses. There's a fullness to that. There's a challenge to that, to be looking out for the weak, to admonishing the idle, to encouraging one another, to seeking peace among one another, to being together in the midst of our struggle. This church had been in the midst of a struggle, and Paul's saying, stay together in your struggle. You're doing good. Stick with it. It's not going to be easy, and you can do it better with Christ, and you can do it better with one another. And then we find ourselves in the season of Advent, probably not quite as challenging of what the church was facing in the first century, but we are struggling, aren't we? We're trying to balance, okay, well, we got this thing with church, and I got that thing with church, and then I got this party and that party, and I got to get the tree up, and I got to do this, and somebody's got to get those last-minute things from the store because Amazon didn't get them here on time. You know, all this is happening at the same time. Kids got something going on at school every other day, one program after another, and we're trying to fit it all in. But let's listen again. What is it God wants for us? Paul's helping us understand. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Plus all those other things, beloved. We urge you, beloved, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Those are some challenging things and some wonderful things simultaneously. But that's the line, right? But we're in Advent. And the line could not be more obvious. The world is saying, drive yourself over the edge. You've got to do these things. And don't forget that you've already forgotten to get some gift for somebody. And in the next few days, hopefully you'll remember. And you get that feeling. Am I the only one who gets that feeling every year? And then you have to ask, where's this peace that God's promising? And brothers and sisters, the peace is in Christ. The peace is in the life in Christ that God has for us. Our God, who came into this world born as a tiny little baby, unable to do anything, vulnerable and weak, to grow up into this world, to be recognized as the Messiah, the one who will make the sacrifice of his very body and blood, so that we can come nearer to God and find the truth and the fullness of the life which he has for us, a greater life than you can get at Walmart, even if it's on sale. We got to grab a hold of this thing that God has for us. We got to recognize when the world is geared up to take us away from Christ, to turn our heads away from the cross, to turn our heads away from the truth. And we have to look at our God in these moments. We don't negotiate it. We trust in the Lord. That's where the peace, the comfort, the true joy comes in our life in Christ. Sure, it has all those other things, and yes, it has expectations. But he will do those things. He will do those things. I mean, that's what he says. Paul's prayer, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Now, I suspect any one of you who's had a few things to do around Christmas, anybody had to do any sort of Christmas preparation yet? I mean, I've done a little. Like one thing. Well, two if you count starting the sermon for next week. I'm just imagining if someone showed up in my life and they said, okay, Brian, here's the deal. You tell me everything you want to have happen for this Christmas season. You tell me what you want for dinner. You tell me who needs a gift. You tell me what they want. Or better yet, I'll just figure it out for you. I'll send out all the cards. I'll get everything taken care of. You don't have to worry about anything. All you have to do is let me do it. Anybody want to see that person walk into their lives? Yeah, absolutely. What do I have to do? Nothing? Excellent. And all that's going to happen for me? Yes. And what is required of me again? Just let me do it for you. Which means you got to let go of the control. That's your God. This Jesus that we are waiting to see, this Jesus who we know has already broken into this world as an infant child, who will come again as King, this Jesus is saying that to you about all the things that actually matter. All your fears, all your concerns, all your struggles, all your pain, all your sorrow, all your shame, whatever it may be, he is saying to you, I can bring you peace. I can bring you joy. I can bring you wholeness. All you need to do is love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he will give you everything you need for that to happen. And yet we still find ourselves on the fence. And I had this conversation recently, and I wish I could remember who it was with. It was one of you all, about sitting on a fence. And I thought, yeah, nobody does that. Have you ever sat on a fence? I mean, imagine yourself sitting on a fence, one leg on one side, one leg on the other. Right? No. Nobody's going to choose to do that, because that's going to cause some pain and seriously some sorrow. But spiritually, man, we are more than happy to get up on the top of that fence, aren't we? And especially in a season like this where we're going, but I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. And the church is saying to you, but Jesus is coming. But Jesus is coming. Are you ready for that? I understand you got your grandma's gravy recipe. I know you got all that ready. You got it all lined up. You got your shopping list. If you don't already have it in the house, you know what you're going to make. You know who's coming. You know who you bought presents for. You know who you got left. And all I can say to you, brothers and sisters, but Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, the one who gives you the fullness of this life that you desire. You know, that moment where we'll come together and worship on Christmas Eve and go, this is amazing. And we work to the moment. We want the moment. And God is saying, through Jesus Christ, you can have the life. Which do you want? You want a moment and hope that you can white knuckle it till the next moment? Or do you want the life that those moments represent? Jesus has come. And he is prepared to do absolutely everything necessary for you to have that. In this life and for eternity, a life in Christ. Today and every day. And for all your days beyond this world, Jesus has come so you can have that, so you can walk in joy in his kingdom. Yes, for a time we will struggle in this world. But you know what? At some point, you're probably going to want to get off the fence if you find yourself up on the fence. Don't have to have that pain. All you have to do is decide which side you're getting off on. And if you stay there too long, the pain will become so great you won't care which side you get off on. You just want to get off the fence. So I'm saying to you, get the life in Christ. Choose that side. Choose that world. Paul prays for it. Verse 23. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. And he will do this. Now we use that word sanctify and people go, nice word. Let me help you. May the God of peace himself set you apart and make you holy. All of you, body, mind, and soul. So that you can have what God intends for you. So you can be blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who calls you is faithful. He will do this. Just have to let him in. And for that, brothers and sisters, without hesitation, we should rejoice always.